And if you're staying here, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have been going through the book of Corinth and looking at it in view of the errors that they were making. Paul comments on a lot of different errors they were in, and there's a lot of stuff for us to benefit from there. We can learn a lot and try to stay away from some errors. If we are in some errors, we can, you know, realize them and get out of them. There's a lot to be said there, and that's why we're going through it. We've looked at a few. Last time we were here, we started chapter 12, and we looked at the error of spiritual confusion and how when it came to these spiritual things, the Corinthians were a little messed up maybe. And they didn't have full understanding of what they were doing, how they were doing it, and they were spiritually confused. And Paul says, look, you remember, y'all were Gentiles, and y'all come from that, and y'all pulling your Gentile ways in of understanding spirituality and these things, and y'all are confused. Y'all aren't doing it things right. And y'all might be doing it in all these extravagant ways and all this stuff. And he says, but basically, what you need to remember is that if your spirituality isn't honoring Christ, then it's not spiritual. It's not correct. If your spirituality is lifting you up, or if it's dishonoring to Christ, if when y'all are coming together, these things are happening, then it's not true spirituality, and it's not right. It's not from the Spirit. And then he's going to get into the different gifts, and he's going to get into the different ways God works amongst us, right? All the members, and he's going to talk about that. So I think we can start, and I don't know that I'm going to read them all right now. I'll probably just start with verse 7. But remember this, he's going to be talking about the body this time. And so today we're going to call it the error of dysfunction. The error of dysfunction. God has order, and he is the source of all of this. He's putting it all together. He's got structure, and he's got purpose. I mean, we see that in the way Paul deals with it. And whenever we start taking those things out of order, we don't want to follow the structure that God has given. We don't want to be used for the purpose that God has given us to be used for. We don't want to use our gifts as he's given us to use them. All this creates dysfunction in the body, and that's an error. So it's the error of dysfunction. And verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's for the profit of everybody. It's not for individual use and for individual gain. It's not for you to be exalted in the gift that you have. A lot of times we want to use these gifts or thinks about these gifts in a way that wow, whoever has that gift, that must be because he's so much better than, you know, and we start using the gifts as the ones that are defining who we are and how worthy we are of these things. No, the gifts are gifts. They're given of God. It's not like, well, you're worthy of this and he's not worthy of this. God has distributed all as he pleased. As it pleased him. It's not about each one of us. And when we start putting the focus on the gifts, then we're not doing correct. And if we start putting the focus on the ones that are gifted, we're not doing right. The gifts are to exalt the gifter.
Amen.
Not the gifted. And not the gift itself. And so remember that. It's to profit with all. He gave it to us for a reason. It's to give us profit. It's not for our personal things. It's not for self-centered use. Okay, this is an error. Before we continue on, let's go ahead and pray this morning. Let's ask God to help us. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we're grateful for what you've done in our lives. We're grateful for this another year that you've allowed us to have, and with all the ups and downs, Lord, we know you're there, and we can put our cares on you because you care for us, Lord. This year, Lord, we want to be blessing to you. We want to glorify you. We want to honor and praise you. And we ask that you help us, Lord. Guide us and use your word so that we can know you better and live our lives as you would have us to live them.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and a couple things to mention. Diversity, it comes, right? Diversity is what God has given us. He's given us diversity. We are not all the same. And this is very important. You're not going to be the same as somebody else. And we're not all going to be the same. And there's a reason for that. There's order, there's structure, and it's for the benefit of everybody. If we were all the same, that would be a big mistake. I don't know, you've ever seen The Lord of the Rings? You know that one tower? It's like one big tower and it's got an eye. And it's always like, it's that little eye. And I always think that is so weird. It's so strange. There's this one eye and it's like, it's useless. What else can it do? It can't do anything. It can't move. It can't do anything. It's just one big eye. And you know, that's a mistake. And if the church starts acting that way, where we all think, man, I'm the eye, we're all trying to be the same thing, you know, that does not work. God made differences, and those differences are by God's design, but those differences are all from the same source. God did it. God has given us this. And he teaches us that here at the beginning. He says, verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Yes, there's different workings, there's different ministries, there's different services, there's different revelations, there's different things. But God is the one that is doing this. God is the one that's giving it and providing it, and so we should understand His structure and follow it. We should appreciate that God is doing all this, even though it's different and diverse, even when you might not get what you wanted to get, you still have to recognize that God is the one giving it, and you should submit to Him. Gifts are manifestations. Again, it's about the giver, and we need to beware of seeking recognition. When we have a gift, one thing you've got to watch out for is that you want to be recognized. You want to be recognized about what you're doing and how much you're doing. And look at the gift that I have. Listen, the gift is not about recognizing you and lifting yourself up. It is about the gifter. And it's there to display God's work, not your worth. Remember that. Gifts are for profit, for all. And so remember this. So remember, every single member is valuable. This is true. Every single member is valuable, but not every member is of the same value. And that's true. Okay. Sometimes this passage is used and or it might be misused to make members that are not doing anything feel better about themselves. And if that's what you're getting out of this passage, you're not understanding it correctly. In fact, what he's saying that those members that are doing a lot without being visibly seen are more valuable. And that's an important point, and we'll get to that later on. But just remember that. Every member must function. Every member must function. This is, and one thing also to note is that we can take analogies too far, and we got to be careful with that. Paul gives us an analogy of the body. This is the body of Christ, right? And we need to be careful because we can start taking those analogies too far, and you start thinking, you know, well, you're the mouth, and that means you can't do anything else. And the actual body parts that, you know, as if you want to describe yourself as that, doesn't mean you're limited to just that one. Right? Just because you stood up in an open meeting and preached doesn't mean that now you're the mouth and you can't do anything else. So be careful with taking the analogy too far, right? It's not about assigning each believer a single body part. That's not what it's doing. Paul's illustrating the church and how it functions together. He's not limiting what one believer can do.
And so that's just important to think about whenever we're looking at this, because we don't want to get locked into one role forever. Thinking, no, I'm the eye and that's it. I can't help you with that. I can't do this or I can't do that because I, whatever you think you are. Be careful with that. Just consider that.
Amen.
And so every member must function. Right? This is the real point Paul is having. He's saying we're all members one of another. We all have something to do.
That's true.
Every single one of us has something to do. You are important to the body and you need to be functioning. You need to be doing something. This is important. This is the analogy that he's giving for a purpose. We are part of the body. And not every function is going to be seen. It's another thing that he mentions, he talks about, and needs to be mentioned. Not every single function is going to be seen. Some of you, some of us, all of us, we're going to be doing things that nobody else maybe will ever see. They might never see all the work that you put in. And that's not a wrong thing. It's just how it is. Your body does a whole lot of things all day long, and you don't give it any recognition. And yet it's working all day long for you. You've got muscles, your liver's doing a whole lot for you, and you probably don't recognize it. How many times have you thanked your liver? You know? And a lot of times that's how it is in the body. In the body of Christ. And it's not a bad thing. It's not all about recognition. Remember, some functions are never going to be seen. And every function is valuable.
Amen.
Every function is valuable. And in this body analogy, you got to remember that no member gets to be idle, no member gets to be lazy, and no member gets to be proud. You are part of a body, and you need each other. And you can't be proud because you're exclusive. There is none of that. And you can't just decide to be lazy and idle because that's going to affect the body. And so a lot of that is coming up. They forgot, I think they didn't understand, they didn't see that they were a body, and this is where we're gonna go into. Let's go to verse 12. Verse 12 it says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are all baptized into one body, whether be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Not one member, but many. Again, it's a body illustration, a body analogy. And so the first one we're going to talk about here is the error of independence. The heir of independence. He says, the body is not one member, but many. And so whenever we get this idea that we alone are sufficient or we alone are enough, you're not understanding it correctly. You are part of a body. You are a member of a larger group and you cannot be fully complete by yourself. If you start thinking that The body of Christ, the church, depends completely upon you, you're mistaken. You are very mistaken. You think I alone can carry the church. No, not at all. And anybody that tries to do so is not understanding that that's not how it works. Anybody that lifts himself up to that type of, and you know, this is strangely a danger that a lot of people can actually become, especially the more gifted they are, the more likely they are to become the ones that think that they can do it all by themselves, or that they are the essential thing of the body, and without them the body would just, you know, fail. Be careful thinking that you are the one, and that you alone are enough. You don't think you need help? A lot of times, whatever it is, whether it's pride or whatever, we want to feel like we don't need help. No, you do need help.
Amen.
No matter where you are, no matter what title you have, you know, pastors, whatever, you pastor need a pastor. You need help. You can't do it all by yourself. You need others. You don't think you need accountability? You don't think you need support? We need each other. And so he says, the body is not one member. The body's not one member. It's many. It's many members. Now, this is another danger that I think we find probably more and more now, is that that we can think that I'm fine by myself. And I think with the online presence that there is now, maybe it's even bigger, but we start distancing ourselves. We start getting alone, and we think that that's fine, that that's okay, that we don't need to be physically present along with each other. Now, I understand that you know, we can have Zoom and get these things, but there has to be an understanding that if we're not together, then we can't think that we're functioning the function of a body. We have to be together. You can't just go off by yourself and think that's good enough. I'm fine by myself. We think we can worship God by yourself. That's not enough. God wants us to worship Him together, collectively, as a body. You think you can grow alone? You're going to limit yourself. You can't grow that much alone. God wants us. God teaches us. This is what He wants. He wants us to help each other out, one another. This is how we grow. It's together. And so thinking you're fine by yourself, you can just read at home, right? I can just read at home. I'll start an online ministry and teach, and I don't need church. This is a mistake. It's a mistake. You are not enough or sufficient alone.
Amen.
And one is that you think you can serve without submission. You can serve without submitting one another. God places it where you, while you're serving, you have to interact with other people, and you learn what submission is because you submit one to another. And if you're not doing that, then you're not the servant that God wants you to be. You cannot serve God all by yourself and think that you are complete. This is a body thing. And so, again, not saying that you're never going to be in jail and you're going to be all alone. And if you're in that position, then hey, you got to do the best you can alone. But voluntarily saying, I don't need to go to church and I don't need to get together with believers, is a mistake. Because you are part of a body, and you're not just one member, and that needs to be said. So that's the error of independence that he starts off with, and we are a body. But then we got the error of inferiority. And this is where we start seeing a lot of things that we can actually probably we can relate to. In verse 15 he says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set forth the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. There's a danger when we start comparing ourselves, and we start looking around, and a lot of this text, a lot of what we're talking about here with the body illustration, Paul talks about visibility, and that has a lot to do with it. Because there's some people looking out. We're looking out and we're saying, boy, I like that more. Why am I not that? I wish I were that. And that's where a lot of problems become. And a lot of it has to do with comparison. We start comparing ourselves and we look out and we say, well, I wish I were the mouth. But since I'm just the ears, I guess I'm good for nothing. We start thinking, well, if I only were that, or if I only had that position, or if I only did that, or if I only had that gift. And this is a mistake. Again, the mistake is looking outward instead of looking at what God has given you and start functioning for the place that God has put you.
Amen.
Now, because this doesn't mean that you can never attain other places or other things or even other gifts. He says at the end you should covet the better gifts. There should be a coveting of better gifts and growing and all of these things. But if you're not focusing on what God has given you and you start doing that, then there's never an advancement, I guess you could say. So one of the errors is that when we compare ourselves, it replaces function. And this is dysfunction in the body. Right? The error of dysfunction is that whenever somebody says, well, I'm not the eye, so I guess I don't matter, and then they don't do anything. That's horrible. That is real problems gonna happen. You think because you don't have what they have that you can't do anything? And this is really dangerous that we actually end up settling for doing nothing. And we think that's okay. Well, because I'm not this, or because I'm not that, I don't do anything. Right? It's not all or nothing. This isn't how it works. It's that we all have something to do. And it's fine if you're in this spot right now, and that's where you are, and God has given you that gift, that ability, that ministry, that administration, whatever it is, He's given that to you. That's where you need to function. And do it to the best of your ability. Amen. This is the place God has given you. And so, dissatisfaction does not excuse our obedience. Just because you're not satisfied with the gift that you may have, or the place that you are in, or the administration, or whatever it is that you should be doing as part of the body, just because you're not satisfied with that or not content with that at the moment doesn't mean you can just be disobedient and not do anything. That is how the body becomes dysfunctional. Remember, we have to remember this, that there is a necessity of different functions. It's just a necessity. We cannot all be the same. And that's, he very clearly makes this point from verse 15 to 18. He's very clearly saying, if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? If everything we were was just hearing, then nobody, where is the smell? The body would be completely dysfunctional if we weren't all doing the different functions that we have. Your finger has a function, right? That your nose doesn't have. And if you try to start smelling through your fingers, it's not going to work. And if you start trying to move things with your nose, then it's going to be really awkward. So we got to understand this. You have a place to fill. You have something to do. You are valuable. This is true. But if you're not doing what God has given you to do, then not only are you not valuable, you become a hindrance. Amen. And so it's very important to do what you have been given to do. There's functions, and you need to function. Every member Amen. Must function.
Amen.
Right? Inactivity isn't a gift.
Amen.
We can't all be the appendix. I know everybody's thinking, hey, the appendix doesn't do anything, right? I'm not sure. There's probably a function. But everybody, we can't all be the appendix. We all have something to do. There's a function for everybody. And it's a danger when you get discouraged, comparing yourself or looking out and thinking about all these other things and the things that you don't have and what you could do and what you wish you did. And you get discouraged because of that. Instead of fixing down and doing what you can do and what you're supposed to do, you just decide to withdraw yourself. And that creates a dysfunction in the body. So that is the error of inferiority. And it's interesting to me that he says it this way. He says that you are looking out and seeing the eye. Right? It's not necessarily that somebody's putting you down all the time. And that may happen, and we will get to that. But it can be you yourself, you in yourself, you're looking out and you're saying, well, because I'm not the eye, because I'm not the mouth. Why are you thinking that way? Don't worry about what you're not. Stop looking at what you're not. Start focusing on what God has given you and start doing it.
Amen.
Do it to the best of your ability. Become an expert at it. Right? We love it when all of our body parts, our body members are working properly. It feels good. It feels good for the liver to be doing what the liver does, the kidneys to be doing what the kidneys do, and the fingers to be functioning right. It's good when everything's working the correct way. And so think about it. If you are a hair, then you need to grow. Oh, but you know, it's such a little thing. Man, if you're a hair, grow. Because if you don't grow, you're going to be bald. We don't want to be bald. No offense. Right? I mean, whatever you are given to do, you do. And it is important. And you need to function within the gift that God has given you, within where God has placed you. You need to work there and function there. So that would be the error of inferiority. Man, that's a hard word to say. Verse 18, as he says it, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him.
Amen.
That's very important. God placed the members as it pleased him. You're saying, well, why am I here? Why am I this? Why don't I have that? Why are you so preoccupied for all of that? God has put you somewhere and God has given you something. Be thankful for what God has done for you and work where you don't know why he's put you there. But he does say that he's the one that's placed every member right where it pleases him. And this is one of the reasons I do think that, you know, jumping from one church to another church is not wise to just do willy-nilly. It takes a lot of consideration, because I do think that God places the members as it pleased him. And so I don't just jump around from one place to another, without any reason. I think God has specific reasons to place members where he wants them, and we shouldn't just jump around. Let's find out what God is doing right here with me. We can think, well, I wish my church had this, and I wish my church had that, and I wish, watch out. God has given us a place to be and just be there. And, you know, that to me means like, okay, wherever you are right now, try to do what you're supposed to do. If you're there, God has placed you there, and so do the best you can, because he's set you there, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? God did it purposefully, with purpose, with intentionality, with structure. He placed the members where they're supposed to be. But now are they many members, yet but one body. All the members working together, functioning with the functions that God has given them, make a good body. And that's our objective. That's our objective. And therefore we get rid of our selfish desires and selfish wants and selfish ambitions and all of these things we put to the side and say, what does God want me to do? What would God have me to do? What has God gifted me with? I'm going to go for it and I'm going to do it. What can I do to be profitable to the body? That's how we look at it. That's how we should look at ourselves in the body of Christ. I want to be a prophet to the body. What can I do? And we're leaving other things aside. Now, the other error is the error of superiority. So one is where we feel inferior and we're looking around thinking, well, I'm not that, and so we don't do anything. But the other one is where we feel superior. And this is what you get into next. And that's in verse 21. He says, And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered. God has put it all, fused it all together. He's put the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, right? Which lacked what? Visibility. He's saying there's parts in our bodies that don't get seen. We don't see them, right? They're not external. They're not visible. They're not shown. They're uncomely. They're hidden. And those parts, usually, right? More than likely, those feeble ones are necessary. Those are essential. The organs. Think of the internal organs, right? You can't see them, but if those stop working, then you actually die. And so visibility doesn't always equal worth. And Paul makes that very clear. Paul, again, he doesn't flatten the value. He doesn't say everybody's the exact same value all across the room, all across the board. He doesn't say that. Now again, everybody is valuable, but he does say, I want to correct how value is measured. Value isn't measured how y'all are usually measuring things. Y'all are looking around, and the ones that are more visible, those gifts that are more visible and out there and outward, y'all are like, wow, those are the best ones, and those are the most incredible things. And y'all are all so focused on these things, thinking that, and y'all get to such a point where those that have some of these visible traits, some of these visible outward gifts and visible outward things start thinking that those other things don't have value. And so this error, this feeling of superiority, especially based on the visible traits that you have, is an error. It's a mistake. You're judging worth by visibility, and you shouldn't do that. And so this is a mistake. Now you're on the other side. You're not thinking, well, I guess I'm worthless because I'm not that. Now you're thinking, wow, I am so valuable. I'm so important that I have no need of you. I don't need you. We don't need you. You're not necessary. You've got me. That's not the right way to act. That's not the right way to think. This is not correct. And so we start judging this, and we think we have no need of you, that type of mindset. And this is pride. And this is pride which starts hurting, and it erodes the care that we should have one for another. We should be thinking, boy, I need you. Right? And so, yes, you have one function that might visibly look like it's very important, but that doesn't mean you neglect the other ones. The eye should say, wow, how can I help you, hand, right? I mean, the eye should care for the hand, just like the hand cares for the stomach, just like the stomach cares for the foot. We are one body, and boy, I don't know how else we can say it, but we gotta say it again and remind us again, because that is so forgetful. We are one body. We function together. And if one of us has a problem, we all have a problem. The body cannot work if it's dysfunctional.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we cannot just pretend like these other parts are not valuable. We can't just say, I have no need of you. We are all a body. It's together. And we need to remember that. The pride that we have can fracture our fellowship, and it kills our compassion. Remember, we're all different, and that's what we need to remember. Some parts might absorb impact. You know, my dad always mentions the left hand. It's always getting hit by the hammer from the right hand, stuff like that. And that's true. Our hands are there to absorb a lot of impact, right? Your hands can get hit a lot harder than your liver can get hit. It's just true. Your hands are there, and they're there for a reason, and they can absorb impact. But some parts that sustain life, a lot of these organs that are hidden that you can't see that are in here, those can't be exposed. Those can't be out in public. Those can't be just shown openly. Those need to be covered up. They need protection. They need to be protected because they're not made for that. They don't have the same purpose, and they don't have the same strength. So again, just because something's fragile doesn't mean it's unnecessary. And when I talk about fragile, we're not talking about character. We're not talking about effort. When we're talking about these parts that seem more feeble, we're not saying that they do less.
Right.
In fact, it's the opposite. Those ones that are hidden, they're doing more. Your heart is beating every single second of every single day, all your life. If it stops functioning, you're dead. And so you need it to work. Even if it's not a visible thing that everybody sees, it is essential to your life.
Amen.
And it doesn't need recognition.
Amen.
It's gonna work.
Amen.
And if you're sitting here waiting for recognition before you do something, you are not a vital organ. You need to be willing to work no matter what recognition you give, and that's why I would say I am not in favor of recognizing everything everyone does all the time.
Amen.
That's just it's just the reality. Because I think that we should be careful on how much attention we give to what we do. I think it's very dangerous for us to always be pointing out what we've done. Oh, guess what, guys? I went to a Bible study on this day, and then I went preaching over here on that day, and then guess what? I went over here, and then I went all the way over there, and you're always talking about what you've done and what you're doing and how you're doing, and I prayed for 5 hours, and then I went. You're always talking about yourself. Be careful for how much attention you're drawing to the things that you do. Because it's not about that, and it shouldn't be about that.
Amen.
You're a member of a body. Just work.
Amen.
Function. And be careful of drawing attention. And the scripture warns us of this, on how to be careful on how much attention we draw to our obedience. Look how obedient I am. The scripture, Jesus tells us a lot that you should not be doing it to be seen of men. And so be careful.
Amen.
We don't need to draw attention to everything everybody's doing. And that's one thing to say. Listen, if you don't get recognized for all the work that you do, don't take it too hard. Don't be offended. That's just part of the body life. And don't take it too hard. That's reality.
Amen.
You're going to do a lot of work and nobody will maybe ever recognize it. But God will.
Amen.
God will recognize it. He sees it and He understands it. And remember, I would say it's even dangerous sometimes to be giving recognition when recognition isn't necessary to be given. It's like your organs, right? Again, you don't honor your organs by putting them on display. Your organs shouldn't be put on display. Your organs need to be protected.
Amen.
So actually bringing them out and showing everybody and no, that's not what you're supposed to do with your organs. And it's the same thing. You got to be careful with giving people the spotlight, maybe when they're not ready to have the spotlight. Even Paul tells Timothy, right? Lay hands suddenly on no man. He tells him, he says, don't do it with a novice, lest he being lifted up in pride fall under the condemnation of the devil. Sometimes that recognition isn't the right time to be given, and we shouldn't be. So again, the point is, don't be seeking recognition. Visibility and recognition isn't what we're seeking whenever we're thinking about what part God has given us to do in the body. The body, and especially those that are more valuable, those that are more essential, those that Paul says are more necessary, are necessary for the body, those are usually the ones that are doing a lot of work with very little recognition. With very little recognition. That's the truth.
Amen.
And it's not a bad thing. It's just how it is.
Amen.
And you should be willing to do a lot of work with very little recognition. If you're not willing to do a lot of work with very little recognition, then humility has left the door. And you're not really service. You're not really in service. Because that's what service is. You serve the Lord, and you're not doing it for man, and you're not doing it to be seen of men. And that's how it is. And these internal organs are very important. They're very necessary for the function of the body. So I guess again, the way it's being seen of Paul, or the way Paul is showing it very clearly, is he's saying those visible parts are a very small percentage of what makes the body function. Very small. Very small. And you all are all fighting for being that one visible thing. Then y'all don't understand that the body is dying because nobody's acting like the organs that are working all the time without getting recognition. And so be willing to do the work even if it doesn't get recognition, even if it's not the most visible one. And that, if you do that, then that makes you one of those necessary, one of those vital organs. So, something to ponder on, something to think about. And so yes, and he talks about that honor and comely parts, the honor that we give, the honor that we give to them, right, is not praise and open recognition. The honor that he's talking about here is covering. It's protection. God, he says, God has put it together so, for our comely parts have no need, in verse 24, but God hath tempered the body together. God has made it this way, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. That there should be, and it says in verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another.
Amen.
I mean, isn't that the way it should be? We should just, we should all be so grateful that we have the other members. That's just how it should be. We shouldn't be, he says that there would be no schism, no division. The problem in the Corinthian church where they're always fighting, they're always dividing, they always have these strifes, they're always those things. And he's thinking, why? Well, don't y'all understand? You're a body. Shouldn't you be so grateful that you have a finger, that you have an ear, that you have an eye, that you have a toe? Everything you have, every single part of the body, you should be grateful that you have it because it makes the body function well. And so why are you dividing and fighting and having strife amongst each other if you're a body that's supposed to work together?
Amen.
God made it that way. And I think it says that he tempered together that way that the vital ones don't receive that much visibility, probably because if there would be more schisms, there would be more division. Because if you were the vital one and you're showing off that you're the vital one, you would be inclined to say, oh, I have no need for you. When it comes down to it and you have to choose whether you lose, you know, a vital organ or they cut off your leg, of course you're going to choose, hey, cut off my leg. So why do we Paul, I think it's giving this illustration of saying, don't let it come down to that. Don't let it come down to that. Go ahead and just rejoice in that you can all be useful and functional in the body, no matter where you are.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
In whatever place you've been given, go for it and do it.
Amen.
And maybe that there is a danger in visibility. Kind of like what we were talking about with Timothy and talking about not laying hands on anybody suddenly, because there is a danger also in that recognition and visibility, because pride comes up fast and can really hurt and can really affect. So again, don't be interested. Don't be seeking visibility. Don't be seeking recognition. Jesus made this really clear. Don't be looking for that. Don't be looking for that. And so those are some things to think about on the error of superiority. Let's see what verse 26 says, since we're continuing on in there. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Again, this is the point that Paul is getting to. He's saying, why? It shouldn't be about strife. It shouldn't be about division. It shouldn't be about we don't like each other because we're different. We don't like each other because we have different functions and we have different abilities and we have different gifts and we have, it's not about dividing ourselves over these things. It's about recognizing that these things are what makes the body function. And if one person is not working correctly, we all hurt. If one is hurting, we all hurt together. If one is rejoicing, we all rejoice, right? We're all happy whenever our hands are working really good, right? And somebody takes a shot from the three-pointer and wins, man, their body's doing something amazing and the whole thing's happy. But whenever you smash your finger or stub your toe on the couch, oh, everything hurts. It's just the truth. It's how our body functions, and it's how the church should function. Be careful whenever you start, when something bad happens to somebody else and you start thinking, oh, you know, I don't know, you can start having your thoughts. Yeah, they deserved that. Ooh, be careful. Or I'm glad they finally got what was coming to them. Really? That's your body? That's your partner? That's a part of your body?
Amen.
Seek to, yes, encourage. If there needs to be reproof, go ahead and seek that reproof. And do it all like Galatians says, you know, in a very humble, meek way. Because you don't know where you could be at that same part. We should seek to restore the brethren that are fallen. We should seek to help each other out when we're hurt. It's not about rejoicing against each other. It's about what can we do to benefit the body because we are all one. Those are things we need to remember. And then we've got an error when we start resisting God's order. And that's, you know, a big point of the whole thing. It's that God has made us and done it. He's given the gifts. He's the one that's just laid it all out. And if we are not willing to submit to the order that God has provided and the structure that He has provided, then we are going against Him. And that's an error. He says in verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, and governments, and diversity of tongues." Yes, there's an order there, and there's a lot of different things. But are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Right? The obvious answer is no. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Okay. Again, we get the point. We're not all the same. God has made us different. And God set up these differences, and God set it up, and He wants it to be for the function of the whole church. And so we have to submit to what God has done. God didn't make you an apostle. Get over it. Yeah. Right? That's it. Too bad. You're not, you know, wow, the inspiration of God for earth. You are not an apostle. So stop trying to strive to be that and to get that recognition or to become that or whatever it is you're going for. Just accept the structure that God has given you. And work well in that.
Amen.
One thing I do want to mention about this is that faithfulness is not measured by obedience. Sorry, faithfulness is measured by obedience. It's not measured by prominence. We think that for some reason we get in our mind, we think, well, because they're in such a high visibility place, they're in such a high whatever it is. You know, and they're recognized and they've got a title and they've got a ministry and they've got all this stuff and whatever we want to call it. We think, well, then that just means, you know, God has given it all to them. No, God measures faithfulness, not about prominence and how visible you are. He measures it by faithfulness to what He's given you to do. And again, if you're the finger, function with the part of a finger and do it. And God will exalt you as you need to be exalted. God will give you what you deserve. He is taking into account what you're doing with what He's given you to do. So yes, we don't all serve in the same way. God has given us and assigned us a place, and it's not just by your choice. So you need to be obedient to it. There's danger when because of disorder, we don't follow the design that God has given us. And so that's something. At the end, we end with verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So yes, there is coveting gifts, and you can pray to God and you can say, Lord, I want to be able to do this or that, or help me, right? Again, never stopping the function that God has you in right now. You never say, well, Lord, until you give me the ability to do such and such, I'm not going to do anything. That's not how you covet the better gifts. Use your gift. Use what you're doing. Use where God has placed you. And you can pray and you can ask God for more of a place. That's fine. But, there's an error in pursuing the gifts without love. Without charity. And that's what he goes into in chapter 13. And we mentioned that charity is the atmosphere where we use all these things and function as we should. There has to be charity. And without it, we'll get into that. But that is an error of pursuing these things without charity. Gifts without charity can end up becoming destructive instead of beneficial. The gifts that God has given us are for profit with all, for all of our profit. But when we use our gifts without charity, and the focus isn't on exalting God anymore, it's about exalting the gift or exalting the gifted, then we become destructive to the body instead of profitable to it. And so we'll get into that next week. That'll be chapter 13. Okay. And we'll take a little break, and then we'll start with the second half.